Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, the great American liberal tradition, Lee, of the apology tour was begun by Barack Hussein Obama. Mm-hmm. And when he did it, it was an apology for being American, for daring to be American, that we'd ever been American, that America had ever been anything or done anything in the world, right? And so he kicked off his presidency with it. But today, the apology tour is it's a lot more complex than that. If you are a white and, God forbid, male candidate, you have to begin your campaign by apologizing for that. So far, three candidates have done that. Biden, Beto, and Hickenlooper. So, you know, if you're male, you're going to have to kick off. You know, I am really sorry that I am male. I am so sorry that I was born. That was obviously a mistake on my mother's part. But please listen to what I have to say. Because as we know, all white people and male people are just, there's something fundamentally wrong with them. What it is, we don't know. But we can tell by looking at them. Okay, Michael, do you hear this? Michael Bloomberg. Bloomberg, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, former mayor of New York and doctrinaire liberal and nut job. Was asked the other day why he's not running for office. Do you know what he said?
I can't imagine.
He didn't want to do a white male apology tour.
Well,
I kid you not. You got to hear. Listen to this. Oh, darn it. Hold on. Bear with me. All right. Here we go. White male apology tour coming right up.
But it's just not going to happen on a national level for somebody like me starting where I am, unless I was willing to change all my views and go on what CNN called an apology tour. Joe Biden went out and apologized for being male, over 50, white. He apologized for the one piece of legislation, which is actually a pretty good anti-crime bill, which if the liberals ever read it, most of the things they like would be is in that bill. They should have loved that, but they never even bothered to read it. You're anti-crime, you must be anti-populist.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got to be pro-crime, too,
wow,
by the way.
Bloomberg being brutally honest for a change.
Yeah. I mean, the Democrats are totally pro-crime. They don't care. I mean, look what they're doing in our own legislature.
But, I mean, look at what he's saying, though, about where American politics is. And he's absolutely
right
about this. That the discrimination that can still take place against an old white American male, that you are not qualified to speak for anyone else in this country because you're the problem. And that's where we are in American politics right now.
I will never forget watching, there was a Super Bowl commercial, not this year, but the year before in Super Bowl. Sarah Silverman, I played it. And a woman is giving birth in the commercial. I don't even remember what the commercial was for, what product. And it pops out, it's a boy. And she goes, oh, a boy, so sorry. And then she moved on. And I went, whoa. You know what I mean? And it has just spread from there. I don't know if that's what started, but this is the way they think on the left. I mean, sorry is the only reaction to the birth of a boy. And if you are a boy who is aged into a man, and particularly an older white one, you have to apologize for that in the Democrat Party. He then went on to trash Beto for apologizing for being male as well and for being born.
Everybody else, Beto, whatever his name is, he's apologized for being born. I mean,
boy, Bloomberg's handlers are, I'm sure, having a fit that this got out.
No, but you know what? He can say this because the whole point of this, him saying these things, is he's not running anymore.
Right,
he's too old. He's, you know, he'd be like 80 when he took office. Too old. And so, you know, time's over for him. Bummer. He wishes he could do it, but he's like, I'm not willing to lower myself to do this. I mean, this really is the way it is in the Democrat Party now.
Yeah.
If you're male and white.
If you are a self-made millionaire, well, billionaire, and old and white, you can't do it. Now, if you have lost an election, if you've never really held a real job, if you've just been a bartender or something or other, not to knock bartenders, that's a legitimate, you know, hardworking thing there, but those are not qualifications to be the leader of the free world. Of course, I'm not sure that Democrats are really interested in freedom and the free world anyway. I think they're more interested in dictating to the world what powers your house, what electric vehicle that you are going to be shoved into to go to your job, if you have a job.
I don't know. But, Lee, I mean, if this is, again, if this is where we are today, where will we be in 5 years?
Yeah, really?
You know, I mean, we now have a New York Times editorial board where a Korean woman sits on that board who advocated for the genocide of white people. Right. And that was okay.
Yeah.
That's totally okay. That was, she's thought to be very smart. It's a highly intelligent thing to want.
Well, that's probably a Supreme Court justice nomination right there.
No, she eventually, she hangs on long enough, she'll find herself on the Supreme Court when, you know, there's 35 members of it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. we could, with Democrats, you could one day probably see more people on the Supreme Court than we have in Congress. You know?
Yes. They'll put the entire state of Vermont on the Supreme Court.
536 people will put on the Supreme Court, yeah.
Meanwhile, and see, you can just see the little signs that this is everywhere, and I really worry about where they're going with this. Did you see what happened at the University of Colorado at Denver?
Now, what were they smoking?
God knows, right? the University of Colorado at Denver has removed texts by white authors from their political science classes.
No, I'm not surprised.
On American politics. Yeah. How the heck do you teach that without text from white authors? We can do that without the Federalist Papers?
Well,
I mean, heck, if you're going to really do that, I mean, you have to get throw out the Bill of Rights, the Constitution.
The Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, that too.
You know, pretty much everything before about 1865.
I know.
Good grief.
I mean, what the heck would you even study?
Well, I just don't understand why we can't get back to the statement that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King had, where we are judged by the content of our character and not by the color of our skin, because that's what they are judging people on now. You are judged solely by the color of your skin, not the content of your character. I mean, whether you're a Republican or Democrat at this point, it doesn't matter. If you're a white male, not interested. Not interested.
You know what this all comes back to? With the left, it always comes back to numbers. And the one group of people in America who vote Republican more than any other are white males.
Yeah.
That's what this is about. Yeah. And so they want to delegitimize it. I mean, remember when they were going to have the women's march, but then there were too many males signed up, so they canceled it?
Yeah. Too many men were trying to support it, huh?
Yeah. Too many men were trying to support it. And they have no right to have a political voice. And that's what they're doing. They're saying if anywhere a large group of white males gathers, they have no right to have a political voice, no right to have political influence. I mean, what are the Washington Post telling you? If you're a white male, you should just not run for office, step aside so that women can run and don't vote either so that it won't dilute their votes. I mean, this is the message from them.
Yeah.
And so it's great to see Bloomberg admit this. This is not something we make up on talk radio. This is a real deal, and Michael Bloomberg says so.
Well, Tara?
Yeah?
I'm just saying. It's an opportunity for you then.
How so?
Well, you're female.
Oh, yeah. So I just...
You know?
Yeah. So maybe I should support this, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Am I doing it wrong? I don't know.
If you really want to have power and influence in this country, then, you know, let's get rid of this little talk radio gig and see about running for office. You
yeah,
know?
Why not? Yeah, maybe I could just tell Lindsey Graham to just step aside.
Now we're talking. See,
right,
there you
just
go.
Step aside. The woman is here. Yeah. I got it from here.
I got this.
Yes.
Lindsey, I got this. That's your campaign slogan. Tara, Lindsey, I got this.
I got this. Get out of the way. Okay. Meanwhile, remember how all the glaciers were going to melt?
Oh, yeah.
It was going to be really convenient because we'd be able to take like a boat to Russia.
Yeah, bought my wife some expensive waders just because of that.
Just because? Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, she probably hasn't got much use out of those.
Not yet, no.
This is the Washington Star Tribune. A major Greenland glacier that was supposed to be one of the fastest shrinking ice and snow masses on Earth.
Let me guess. It's increasing in
size. Yes! A NASA study finds. If we ever replace you, Lee, I'm telling you, one of the qualifications I'm going to have the management look for is can read Tara's mind.
Well, I am a white male, so I'll have to be replaced here pretty quickly.
Yes, you probably will. You're going out of style. Okay. Yeah, the Jacobshavn, whatever, glacier around 2012 was retreating and thinning. Nearly 130 feet annually. It was one of those that was listed, you know, as a sign that, you know, of course, they was going to melt and then Florida would be underwater and all of that kind of stuff. It has started growing again.
Okay.
Yep. And it's been going on for a couple of years, according to Monday's Nature Geoscience Journal.
So I guess all the polar bears and penguins are having a block party.
Oh, yeah, man.
Actually,
they are.
Penguins would not be in there. So it was Arctic or Antarctic?
Greenland.
Okay, so there would be no penguins, just the polar bears.
Yeah, and they're like, bummer, it was warm. We liked it. We liked it very much.
And now, another day of totally tantalizing Trump tweets.
Talk is cheap and tweets are cheap.
On The Tara Show.
America cannot afford a Twitter presidency.
Oh, shut up!
106.3 WORD.
I'm really not a bad person, by the way.
Trump retweet. He retweets Tom Fitton with Judicial Watch. Let's be clear, neither Mueller, Obama, FBI, DOJ, CIA, Deep State, etc., ever had a good faith basis to pursue Donald Trump on Russia. Russia collusion was a hoax and a criminal abuse, which is why Judicial Watch will continue to fight for truth in federal court. Let's see if the Department of Injustice joins them. I have my doubt. My doubts. Trump tweet 2 hours ago. The mainstream media is under fire and being scorned all over the world as being corrupt and fake. For 2 years, they pushed the Russian collusion delusion. When they always knew there was no collusion, they truly are the enemy of the people and the real opposition party. He retweets his son, Donald Trump Jr., who wrote, Christmas came early this week in reference to breaking story. The Pentagon has notified Congress it has authorized the transfer of $1 billion to begin new wall construction along the U.S.-Mexico border. Yep. All right. Trump tweet. He tweeted a Wall Street Journal story. Wall Street Journal, Obama administration must account for abuse of surveillance powers. Yes, they must. I remember those surveillance powers go all the way back to when there were hundreds of deep dives into Trump and related campaign emails into the NSA database. We still have not been told who did that. Now, we know Samantha Power's login was used, the UN ambassador under Obama, but she denies that it was her. She says it was somebody else. Who? We don't know. It got dropped like a hot potato by Congress, including the Republican Congress. So, I mean, there must be something there. Trump tweet today, was my great honor to welcome Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel back to the White House, where I signed a presidential proclamation recognizing Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. Yes. Awesome. Trump tweet. Good morning. Have a great day. Oh, well, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Trump tweet, no collusion, no obstruction, complete and total exoneration. Keep America great. Trump tweet, the special counsel did not find the Trump campaign or anybody associated with it conspired or coordinated with the Russian government in these efforts, despite multiple offers from Russia-affiliated individuals to assist the Trump campaign. Yeah, they lied, sir. They did. They lied. Oh, speaking of which, got to play this for you. Joe Scarborough, folks. Folks, Joe Scarborough now describes, this is on Morning Joe, MSNBC, 2 years of reporting in which they describe Trump as a traitor, a Russian agent, a Russian loyalist, a Russian patsy, and guilty of treason. Now says he got bad info. This is Scarborough interviewing the liar and perjurer and, unfortunately, former CIA chief John Brennan. And they both agree that they just got some bad info.
Director Brennan, I'm just curious, Mr. Director, how surprised were you by the findings yesterday, by the conclusions that were drawn? And I'm just curious, did you receive bad information throughout this process, like so many of us did, that there was more there than ended up in the report regarding collusion?
Well, I don't know if I received bad information, but I think I suspected that there was more than there actually was. And I am relieved that it's been determined that there was not a criminal conspiracy with the Russian government.
What a crock. He was the CIA director when the Trump investigation began. It began because of a 2-page memo he wrote recommending it. Oh, I got bad info like you, Joe. Dude. You're the head of the CIA. You had access to all the NSA stuff. You didn't get bad info. You lied. So let's see if you got bad info, sir. Let's declassify your 2-page memo kicking off the whole Trump investigation. Let's see it. He's advocated those remain classified, which I'm sure will help him and nobody else, which is insane. Meanwhile, I love this by Donald Trump, because this is so true, about what was done to the country by people like Brennan and Hillary and Obama and what needs to be done.
There are a lot of people out there that have done some very, very evil things, very bad things, I would say treasonous things against our country. And hopefully that people that have done such harm to our country, we've gone through a period of really bad things happening. Those people will certainly be looked at. I've been looking at them for a long time, and I'm saying, why haven't they been looked at? They lied to Congress. Many of them, you know who they are. They've done so many evil things. I will tell you, I love this country. I love this country as much as I can love anything. My family, my country, my God. But what they did, it was a false narrative. It was a terrible thing. We can never let this happen to another president again. I can tell you that. I say it very strongly. Very few people I know could have handled it. We can never, ever let this happen to another president again.
Yeah. And he's right. Few people could have withstood this. Did you see what Piers Morgan wrote? Remember him? Liberal hack that he was. Yeah, so he's left the United States now. He's writes for the UK Daily Mail, among other places. But he has nailed this. Here's what he writes about the Russia collusion situation. So it was all fake news. The entire two-year Russia collusion frenzy was based on an absolute falsehood that Donald Trump and his team had colluded with Russians to fix the 2016 election. It's hard to imagine a worse thing to say about someone than that they betrayed their country, that they were traitors to their own people. That's what they did. Yet that was the charge leveled at Trump in an obsessively unrelenting campaign to bring him down as president. And now Scarborough's like, oh, my bad. Do we call it treasonous? We got some bad info. Won't happen again, though. Yeah, right. Okay, let me just recap this a minute, Lee. Let's start with CNN, Brian Stelter here. And then go through the coverage of Trump. And you know, how, as we know for a fact, that he is, in fact, a Russian agent and all.
When historians look back on the Trump presidency, they'll say that this was the week that something changed. Something really shifted in the conversations about the president. Trump's odd behavior with Vladimir Putin is compelling so many people to ask, what does Putin have on Trump? Has Trump been compromised?
No rational president would act this way if he weren't being blackmailed on some level.
You can't just dismiss this, the idea that Putin has something on Trump.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but his behavior is so pervasively bizarre and against the national interest that it certainly raises the possibility that something untoward is going on.
See, these concerns are now in the bloodstream in a whole new way. I don't think there's any coming back from this. Josh Marshall of the Liberal Talking Points memo put it this way. He said the press conference in Helsinki made cautious, prominent people start to come to grips with the reality that Trump is under some kind of influence or control by a foreign adversary.
Okay, so that whole segment was Brian Stelter from CNN saying, see, it's not just our paranoia. Listen to Scarborough. Everybody knows. You could tell by looking at him. He's a Russian agent. And that was, of course, based, as you know, on the whole collusion thing, which was treated as fact by CNN.
Right.
Have you seen this? Jeff Zucker, CNN worldwide president Jeff Zucker, says he has no regrets on CNN's Russia hoax coverage.
Okay.
Zucker is pushing back against critics accusing the news network of being one of the chief propagators of a debunked Trump-Russia conspiracy theory. In an interview with the New York Slimes, Zucker said he was entirely comfortable with CNN's Trump-Russia coverage and suggested it was entirely appropriate to give near around-the-clock coverage due to the story's magnitude. Not its relative fakeness, Lee. Just the magnitude.
Nothing to do with the facts.
It's very big
accuracy.
Fake story. Yeah. Yes. We are not, quote, listen to this, we are not investigators. Remember that. Let's write that down. I'm going to hang it on the wall. So that everything that comes out from CNN, when my liberal trolls on the text are, well, CNN's reporting the opposite. Let's remember, quote, we are not investigators.
Right.
Awesome. Then I'm not going to believe anything else you ever say.
Yeah, they're just press release readers.
Yes,
and talking
we just make
points
it up. We make it up. He says, we are not investigators. We are journalists. What?
Journalists are investigators. You
should
morons.
Be, yeah.
Yeah, they should,
yeah,
they should be checking it. Okay, we are not investigators. We are journalists. And our role is to report the facts as we know them. Catch that? Not as they are.
Yeah.
As we know them. Which is exactly what we did. No, I'm sorry. That is not journalism.
No.
A sitting president's own Justice Department investigated his campaign for collusion with a hostile nation. That's not enormous because the media says so. That's enormous because it's unprecedented. Yes, well, Lee, somehow you and I didn't make the mistake CNN did.
No, we did not.
We did not. And that's because we reported on this and we talked about it critically.
Well, we did a little investigating.
Yeah, we did a little, not a lot, but just like a little bit investigating. Okay, listen to what they're saying. We're not investigators. We are journalists. And our role is to report facts as we know them. That is not how journalism works. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times good editors that I had, both liberal and moderate editors, did not allow me to report a fact that I substantially knew to be true because I couldn't prove it in writing. In other words, I had a source on background who was saying it was so, but I could not confirm it on the record. They wouldn't let me report it. So when he says our role is to report facts as we know them, no, that is a bastardization of the journalistic mission as it is taught in journalism school, at least was to me. You report facts you can confirm. Mm-hmm. Not, well, it's a fact as I know it. Well, you can find somebody to tell you anything you want about something off the record. You can. It's not hard to do. Confirming it on the record is journalism.
If your job was to report the facts as you know them, then Richard Nixon would never have been impeached because you didn't know that he had gone through and deleted those recordings. You didn't know about the cover-up. It was only through an investigation that you found out of the cover-up of the Watergate break-in within the Nixon administration. And it was not the break-in that brought him down. It was the cover-up.
And what you heard CNN doing there in that clip, and this has been done endlessly by them, is, you know, if they had just reported the facts as they were, the documentable facts, that would have been one thing. But what you heard there, they went so far afield. You can tell by looking at him, he's a Russian agent. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They completely abandoned facts and went just full bore insane. And by the way, do you know Lee, why I have obsessively played this audio from the mainstream media? And I did a poor job yesterday of explaining this to people. I don't do it to upset people or make them mad.
Just say not an adequate job, not a poor job.
Okay, a non-adequate job. Thank you, Lee. it is because I want you to understand. I mean, we are watching on a near daily basis people with MAGA hats. I mean, the most recent one, somebody saw one in a car. They set the car on fire. 81-year-old man beaten. People beaten on the subway, violence, death threats, you know, and the left looks unhinged to us. My gosh, what's wrong with them? Trump is kind of a moderate guy, isn't he? Well, no. I mean, they're hepped up on this.
Yeah.
And that's why I play this, so that you understand the level of the derangement and why they are resorting to violence. They literally think they are living through a coup by Donald J. Trump, who is a Russian agent, and that Trump has just managed to win another round in the coup by obstructing and subverting justice at the DOJ to hide his crimes, whatever they are. They never tell us what the crimes are, but we're just assured there were crimes and that they're being hidden, which is why we don't know what they are.
And then they keep whining that Donald Trump is the one dividing this country.
Yeah, that was the late. Did you hear that?
Yes.
From Politico?
Yeah, nuts.
Trump is at fault here because, see, now we could all come together, now that the media can't lie anymore. We can all come together, and Trump should bring country together and just forget what the media said. And so it's his fault we're divided. Are you kidding me? This wasn't divisive?
When historians look back on the Trump presidency, they'll say that this was the week that something changed. Something really shifted in the conversations about the president. Trump's odd behavior with Vladimir Putin is compelling so many people to ask, what does Putin have on Trump?
A lot of paper here tonight, but the one thing that jumped out at me is the president of the United States, individual one, directed a crime.
So right now we have a sitting president of the United States who committed two felonies while running for president.
Okay. If Tucker Carlson were to come on television and tell us that about somebody important, mm-hmm. You know, maybe the president, maybe Barack Obama. And he's got credibility. He's got what looked like facts. He's got a nice suit. He's got the CNN logo. We'd probably be pretty freaked out, too.
See, I see a pattern in the way Trump deals with leaders. And I think this applies to Putin as well as to Xi Jinping of China and, Rocket Man. he will criticize what their governments do and what their nation's policies are and the effects on this country. But he tries to say nice things and form a personal relationship with the leader so that he can then negotiate.
Yes.
Think about it. I mean, he's gone out of his way. And I get it why the liberals are, oh, this is unprecedented. This is strange. It's not how you do things. Well, yeah, he's doing it a different way. Quite honestly, the way that this country has been doing diplomacy over the past 50 years ain't worked out so well, has it?
No, it hasn't.
So why not try something different? And I'm not saying that this is the perfect answer for every occasion and for every country, but I do see that Trump goes out of his way to try to form some type of personal relationship and a one-on-one relationship and a positive one with the leaders of these countries with which we have the biggest problems, such as Russia, China, North Korea.
Amen to that, Lee. And as far as we know at this point, we don't know for sure, it is working. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line. Texter writes, hey, Tara, CNN forgets the fact that Trump-Russia collusion was not even a thing. Since March 2017, we knew, everybody knew it was a fake hoax. Everybody. Yeah, because the FISA court censured the FBI for lying to them. That's when I began telling you what was a hoax. And they began ignoring the FISA censure. Let's jump on the Ingalls Advantage talk line with Bill. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Tara. How are you today?
I'm doing better now that I'm talking to you, Bill. What's up?
Tara, I would liken the situation that we have in our country today with what has happened in the Mueller investigation. We cannot allow anyone who participated in this fraud not to be prosecuted and put in jail. And I call on every citizen that listens to your program, to this radio station that cares about America, to set things right, to discredit every journalist in such ways as we're able to, and to get on telephone lines with our congressmen, our representatives, call across the aisle and let the Democrats know that we are disgusted with what they have done.
Yeah, don't tell the Democrats that, because see, we don't want them to know. We want them to find out to their shock on election day, Bill. But well, I agree with everything else you said. You know what else we need to do? This is important, Bill. Again, if you are just day-to-day, you're very busy, you got a lot of stuff you're doing, get on social media, share this stuff. Whatever your social media pleasure is, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or all of that, you need to be reaching out to people every day. And when it's election season, you need to be volunteering for campaigns of people you genuinely check out. That's what will really begin to change things. But right now, and I know it seems a small thing, but the way I see this, look, if you can just convince one, just one, We'll double our numbers, whether that's a family member, the guy who sits in the cubby next to you at work, the liberal down the street, you know, and the best people to aim for, too, are those who are kind of middle of the road. They don't really know what's going on. They've got general misinformed perceptions from CNN, you know, and, you know, you can be sharing on social media. You can be educating people that way. You can be turning on to this show or any other show. It doesn't matter on talk radio. It's going to be good. Me, Rush, Bobby Mack, whoever. And it doesn't matter, but you need to challenge them to listen for 6 weeks. You need to be out of the closet. Because if you're just sniping on the text line, you're not getting it done. And, you know, listen, if you say to yourself, well, you know, I can, my job or whatever. No, listen, you need to get out of that. I've lost a job before because I wouldn't moderate. It cost me my first radio gig. It was bought by a very liberal company, and I had the highest ratings of the local hosts on the station, almost double the morning show, and I got fired. And they actually said that, you know, when they fired me, that I was keeping people away from the station, that the listening audience would go up much higher if it was more moderate and more inclusive. And I said, and I can even remember arguing with them as they were pushing me out the door. But the people who have more moderate, more inclusive shows, and by that mean they meant inclusive of liberalism, have half the ratings I do. But didn't matter. Out the door I went. And I wouldn't moderate, and it cost me my job. So I am not asking you to do anything that I haven't done before. But this is how we have to fight. We have to be in public spaces, as they say. We have to be out there. Even if it just means, you know, finding the thing you found most interesting from this show
And sharing it, going on my Facebook page and sharing it, going on the Word Facebook page and sharing it, whatever you do, find a source you like. And share, 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 share. Push, 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 push. This is the way we communicate. And that seems like not a big thing, but it is. This is how Trump won the election. I mean, my gosh, you remember before the election, during the general, Trump didn't even have Fox News. He didn't. People forget they were nasty. So this is what you can do. It seems like a small thing. It is not. You have to be out there openly. You got to be out of the closet about what you believe. You got to challenge things people say and do. And do that. And you know, convert one. We double our numbers if you convert one. You don't have to save the world. You don't have to start a major organization, although if you have the means, do. But that's not what it means. It we have got to start to fight the way that they do. Texter writes, Tara, social media is a joke. You were giving poor advice. No, I am not. If Trump considered social media a joke and so many people didn't share him on social media, he would not be the president. I knew he had a shot of winning when we began to notice that the campaign stop videos, you could get pure uncut Trump. For Trump, the hits were running into the millions. They weren't for Hillary. She was getting thousands. He was getting millions. That's how he won. So when you say social media is a joke, okay, how will we spread our message exactly? How's that going to work? We don't have another way. Texter writes, exactly, Bill, exactly. Yes, Bill had a great point. Texter writes, Tara, turnout is, turnout today is low. We need to get the vote out today for our students in Pickens. Over 50% are not reading on grade level. Very sad condition in our schools. I agree with that. Texter writes, hey, Tara, there will be no coming together. These people will pay for their crimes. Rest assured. I sure hope so. Declassification is coming, this Texter writes. OIG report, Huber. While they've been clowning around for 2 years with this treasonous hoax, serious people have been working quietly. It's going to happen. I hope so.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.